This is WFO Radio.
Hey, everybody. WFO Radio is back on the air. Second time today because we're getting ready for the Dodge Power Brokers U.S. Nationals, the biggest drag race on the planet. We got all kinds of great stuff for you this week. We just heard from Tricky Ricky Smith not long ago. That is in the archive on our WFO app and on YouTube. And right now we're getting ready to hear from Leah Pruitt, who has really become a one-name person these days. Leah. Because we didn't speak with her about her mile-high victory in the Dodge Power Brokers Mile High Nationals a couple of weeks back, and it worked out perfectly. She's for one in the Dodge Power Broker races, and we've been telling you about our sponsors and all that. I will do that as soon as she jumps off the air, because we have limited time with Leah. Let's bring her on right now at the start. By the way, we got to defeat the algorithm, guys. Share, share, share. YouTube, retweet on Twitter, all you folks out there, so we get the numbers way up there, and everybody is ready for Leah. What's up, Leah? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for pumping me up. And also, I'll do my part to pump up those numbers. It's always great what you do for the sport, what you do for fans. Appreciate it.
The algorithms, right? Like, I was having a conversation with Eazy-E, your social media guy, and we were back channeling about defeating the algorithm. You've only got X, and it'll only show you Y. But if you do X things, you can get past it. All that social media stuff. They make us work extra hard in drag racing.
They do. I think the best part to the algorithm is that if you win, then that usually does pretty good things. Yes. People talk about it, a lot of action, you get a lot of footage, you get a lot of stories, and that's really probably the only way to defeat the algorithm. Trying to keep up with it all the time is a job in and of itself, but I'm very happy to be on here. I know that it seems like the Dodge Power Brokers Mile High Nationals were forever ago. I mean, we've had even many, many races since then, but it's forever going to be a victory in my heart, in my mind, and for this team. Very monumental.
And everybody seems to be very willing to go back in time to talk about it, but it works out perfectly because we've got another Dodge Power Brokers race coming up this weekend, and this one is even bigger that it's the Dodge Power Brokers U.S. Nationals. But I want to go back to that race. I want to ask you about some things. I know you guys tested some breaking news, some interesting stuff Leah's going to share with us. But boy, that was special. It was a different kind of win for you. And you've had those special wins at multiple phases in your career. Like, hey, can I be a top fuel driver? Yes, I can. Hey, can I win in top fuel? Yes, I can. Oh my gosh, can I win with these guys? Yes, I can. Can I win with my own team? Yes, you could. And that was just very special. Let's go back to that moment.
Well, I first want to say, out of all the victories I've had in all of racing, I still feel like it's been progressive, but it doesn't take away from any of the wins that I've had before, because those were the most important thing. That was the most important thing in my life and the most happy and proudest I will ever be. But it is quite, it's so hard to kind of wrap my head around that something could mean even more as you go. But I mean, for those that maybe watched throughout the entire weekend, they saw that we tried to be the fastest, the quickest on Q1, and we were definitely not. we were not at the top of the leaderboard. We were not going low. We smoked the tires immediately. Like in an essence where, like, there's a fast smoke, but then there's a, like, you didn't even get an eighth of a rotation of a tire, and it just zung up. And what that showed to us is that we were making way more power on the mountain than we thought that we were. So we had to take some drastic steps, move everything back out. And of course you run, you know, very different parts up in the mountain. And so in Q2, when we ran low, that we didn't, you always mean to run fast and to run low, but we just wanted to get a solid pass down the track for Q2. And for that to be low, we had to take a step back and go, okay, apparently our parameters were just off a little bit, not just by like a notch or two, but our window, we were looking through a different window than we ever had. So the entire Denver race for us was refining this combination that we didn't know anything particularly about, and to have each knock of success. And then we went into race day, and, you know, we were qualified number three after holding the number one spot for two sessions. And number three is a great spot to go. But man, come Sunday, it was a tricky day. I mean, only a couple times making it to the finish line, fully under power. Pedaling has not really been my strong suit in the last I'd say, year and really been working on that. And I think it showed during that race. And really, you see so many people blow up and have catastrophic events with their cars and with their engines, with their tune-ups. For us, even as we were finding out our strategy from tune-up and Neil and Mike doing a great job, we didn't hurt like anything because we ran such a healthy program. And kudos to this. When we talk about our crew guys and how proud we are and we've been and thankful for them, the work that they do and the diligence in doing their job consistent and right all the time really showed in that race. You know, when you have to push every part to their maximum limit, you're running maximum compression and overdrive and fuel and everything, you know, the weakest link is going to give. And when you have just a strong package all the way, because we were prepared for the most intense race, that's what we got, was the best results. And it showed in qualifying, it showed in eliminations. And that's one of the reasons that this win was beyond big. Yes, Power Brokers, yes, Dodge, but that work that we kept talking about the whole season and that we had momentum, but it wasn't really showing, that's when it just kind of burst out, was that in Denver and at the top end. And I just, all those other ones, was really happy for my team and partners and mobile. But this one, I was particularly happy for Neil Strasma and Mike and even Ryan, everybody in new positions. And it was like one of the, if not the most validating win of my career and maybe for theirs.
And I can understand that. And I talked to Tony and he said, you know, another thing, like you're doing it with your husband, the synergy that you guys brought into the sport, that's new too. Him wins with Hagen, that's one thing. That team was together. They brought that team over, their world champion team. They all stayed together, all the same guys. They're kind of expected to win. This was creating something that didn't exist. You went and you got guys that were world champions on other teams. I think of Chris Afflerback. We played an interview with him. And I think about Red, guys that I know from all these other teams. You guys interviewed, you brought in people, you thought about chemistry, and you created something. And it might not have worked. Might not have worked. And this win, it worked, and it was an affirmation.
It did, and we were able to build from there, of course, going on to Sonoma and capturing a number one qualifier, going rounds, and even Seattle. We had a successful Seattle as well. I think we were the number two points earner in the entire Western swing. And, again, like, I just have to give all my credit to the guys that they knew what they signed up for. I think that's the difference. I mean, the beginning of the season wasn't as miraculous as we all would have hoped and wished it would have been, but we had the right people with the right attitudes that eventually we'll get it because that's who we are. So that, being able to race with Tony has been how I told him at the end too, of course, like typical top end interview style. You forget to mention like the number one person in your life and that you're most thankful for because you're focused on so many other. And so I forgot to thank Tony, and he's digging up a tree stump right now in the lake over there. So he can't hear me, but I thank him and for really the whole entire culture and reasoning for creating this team was to create a space for people to race how they want to race and enjoy it. And, you know, right. What's the heart? What's the dynamic of racing? Well, oh my gosh, Cash, digging in and trying to be better than whoever the best is and having the opportunity to challenge yourself. And that's what each one of my crew guys and Neil and Mike haven't really been in that particular situation where they, you know, they're not afraid to take risks. And I know that Dickie's team and Matt and all that, and that they were a unit together, but they had to go through their own changes within the off season to race under a different house. That means you have a different mentality, and what worked for you then maybe not work over here. So everybody went through a learning curve of how to be your best self in different situations. And even though they are quote unquote different and a little bit less stressful, you actually put more stress on yourself because you have your own Pandora's box. And how good can you really be?
Exactly. I love everybody checking in. Jeff Turk, who is amazing out there with his own. Jeff, why are you posting on this video? Go build the Factory X car, please. We want to see that Factory X car out there as soon as is possible, please, Jeff. But it wasn't that long ago you were commenting on me and Reinhardt. I thought it was great that after the race, I love my audience. I see guys like Jeff Turk out there. I see Roger Richards out there. Good afternoon, young lady. Like all these people that are in the sport of drag racing and they are checking in on WFO. You were out there checking on WFO. It was actually kind of weird. I got nervous. Sammy Eubanks is out there. But that shows you the community, right? People want to see people take a chance and then have it pay off.
They do. And I feel like when they're, you know, these individuals, you know, Jeff's been at a number of races, might not been at Denver, but Eubanks, he's there serenading us, you know, on the guitar, all of the fans, all the pits. And then he, you know, those that are at the races get to see the wear and tear, not only on the car, but on the drivers and the crew's faces. And then there's always a story that goes behind it. Right. And that's what these shows are about, is being able to tell those stories. And being able to show and like what's coming out of me right now is just still the excitement and goosebumps for seeing someone like Neil, who has been the backbone with Dickie and Tony and I from many, many months, you know, into the 2021 season, taking that risk and putting everything on the line career wise. You know, that was a big step for him to take on a lead crew chief role and build the team and go with a car and chassis setup that he believed in and really go against a little bit of the grain he had been in. And to see that success, it wears on our faces, and those people are at the track and they get to see it. And it's good when you get to have a smile that lasts like a month and a half later.
I'm surprised you remember all these details as well as you do, right? I can't remember yesterday, and you remember like every detail. I'm looking at the ladder and you know, Antron, you got by him. Clay, you got by him. Justin Ashley, you got by him. Langdon had problems on the starting line in the final round, but that's no easy day regardless. And that was a breakout for the team. But as you've mentioned, you've gone down the road a little bit now. And I want to know, like, I love talking to Neil on the starting line, Neil and Mike, because Neil does not hold back. He'll just tell me. And he looks like he's having fun with it. All right, well, this is what we're going to try, and it might not work. You were in the car. You were next out. I was like, Neil, will you talk to me now? We got oil on the track. He's like, yeah, this is what we're going to try to do. And, you know, he said 68, it went 71. Okay. But to get in the mind of a crew chief and have somebody be willing to, like, a baseball player right as he's about to step into the batter's box and swing to tell you what I'm going to do and what I'm going to try to do, that is next level stuff. And he seems modern in that way, willing to share.
Well, I think that's because he became a professional crew chief in an atmosphere at DSR that, you know, I don't want to say required, but you had those opportunities representing companies and teams and doing it a small amount of time. So that's one thing that, I mean, I'd listen to .TV, watch it all race long. I love it because I get to see what's going on, but it is difficult when you are interviewing a crew chief on the starting line and all of your competitors are around. So you're not going to really divulge what you did with the linear or on or off of Brams or your timing map. I mean, everybody knows if the track's good, you're going to hop it up in your own particular way with flows or whatnot. But to the fans in the stands, and that's where I think Neil gets it as well, is you're that's who you're talking to. You're talking to your audience. And it's really hard to get technical, but that's the only thing that they do is be technical to the minute fraction of what this change is. And that's the only thing that's on their mind. So for them to make that mind switch of now I'm in a public relations aspect, how do I correlate what I'm doing and yet it still be engaging and get the fans engaged and the sponsors and knowing all my competitors are listening, like, I only get the top end ones, and I give kudos to them for being able to kind of get into that mind space on the starting line.
Yeah, it was a big moment. And with all that they see on the starting line, to be able to debrief as rapidly as they do. But he called the shot, right? 68. OK, he went 71. But to me, that makes everybody pay attention. All right, I know I got you for a limited amount of time because you're like got all kinds of stuff going on. Dodge Race, U.S. Nationals, my goodness. You stayed to test. What happened at the test this past weekend?
We tested. We expanded our knowledge. I think that's the best way to put it. We didn't particularly, I don't think nobody expanded numbers on the scoreboards by any means, even though Monday was a nice day. Weather was great. Track was great. We actually were hoping for a crappy track so we can get ready for different types of situations. But Oh my gosh. Excuse me one moment.
This is a little dog. Bring the dog.
If anybody has an animal, you know that they are going to make the most noise that they can.
Is that a dog?
That's Cash making all that noise.
You can bring him over on the show. We are pet friendly.
Come here, buddy.
We're pet friendly on the show.
So we did make four. We made four hits. We were the very first one out, 9:01 a.m. Track was hot at 9 o'clock. And we made some successful attempts at improving our performance package. We have a lot to sleep on, I guess you'd say. Our eyes were really opened, and that's when you know you had success. Not just, okay, that did work, but man, that worked. But like, is that going to work a little bit more over here? So beyond that, Tony was there on Monday as well. Did not drive the top fuel car, but people did see him probably walking around in his Mobil 1 suit, and he was making some laps in McPhillips' top alcohol car, who had runnered up in Seattle this past weekend. And he went 529, 534, 536, 267, I believe. He made four hits. And ultimately, it's just he has his top fuel license, but he wanted to be his mind to be able to really keep up with the car. And just like everyone else, I think, in all of drag racing for the most part, they take their stages, they take their steps, and it's not just a matter of what's on the paper and your licensings to those degrees. It really is about your mind being able to keep up with the speed, situational awareness on the track throughout the entire process. And that's his dedication to understanding the cars more, understanding the feelings more, and being more comfortable if and when he gets back in the top fuel car to make more test passes. So we had a full Monday.
That's amazing. Well, the McPhillips family, they're so great at what they do. And I respect Tony for respecting drag racing and not just thinking, yeah, I'll just jump in that 330 mile per hour car and drive the wheels off it because I've driven everything else that I can drive and I'll be good at it. He's like, no, there's a lot to it. And I think he's one of the first, I don't want to say he's the first round track guy because years ago there were, but he's come into it respecting what's going on, even though we don't turn, right? Like he knows there's a lot going on. We don't turn, but there's stuff going on and he wants to be ready for it, not just jump into a race car and go enter a race.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, be sure to have fun on Monday, have fun. And we're up. I mean, it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night on Sunday night. And we've got the printout of the warm-up procedure and the run procedure. And we're testing each other back and forth, you know, so that he hasn't memorized. And he's just so dedicated to doing it right. And why is he dedicated to doing it right? Because that's the only way that Tony really has fun when it comes to a race car, is whether it's tire compound and molds or building a team or driving the car. Nothing is going to be done 99% or even 100%. It's always 110%. And so on Monday, he had four really good passes and did everything right. You know, from burnout, those are shorter burnouts, and the way that they back up and stage is much different. And he did really well. So he ended up having a really good day. Now, when he doesn't do well on some things, it lingers for a while. And everybody in drag racing knows, you know, you're only as good as your last pass. And sometimes you got to wait a really long time to get in the car again. So he's learning that side of it. There's not always another turn to, you know, go right past the guy. But we are, Joe, I want to say we're having a phenomenal time racing. We're having a very genuine good time with our fans. I find myself being spending more time with them than I usually do, all the way till 12 o'clock at night to be the last one there signing, hearing their stories, having more time with them. It's just, you know, I'm working on, of course, making the scoreboard realize, you know, have more win lights, but at the same time, truly enjoying what I get to do and never losing sight that as a professional drag racer, that's what I get to do. And I love it.
Yeah. And they're connected. The more positive energy you can create, the better things will, I believe. I mean, maybe you can create an example where people were negative and they did really well, but I don't know too many. And the better time you have and the more you appreciate the people around you and those fans that are paying and watching on TV, you'll do better. All right. Got a couple more minutes. Dodge Power Brokers U.S. Nationals, back to its original format. Five qualifying sessions, racing on Monday. This is the big go. Walk me through your plans for the week, media. What do you got to do? What are you worried about? What are you thinking about? And I know what your goal is. How are you going to get there?
Well, it all actually starts this week. I leave tomorrow for Charlotte for some other business. Don't come back until the weekend. And then first thing Monday at the track, Dodge has their conquest events. So for those that don't know what that is, if you contact your local dealer and you want to test drive an SRT car, well, really can't ride off. You can't drive a Hellcat just straight off the dealership lot. So the Radford cars are at the drag strip, and we get to teach you how to drive these cars, race these cars, feel the power from the Hemi Durango 392. We've got Chargers, Challengers, Hellcats, basically Scat Packs, everything there, so that you can really feel the car that you wanted to test drive. So we do that from about 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Matt and I do all day Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we have a little bit of team action. And then Thursday, we're doing a TSR function at IMS at the Speedway. Because that's just a very unique situation that we have somebody in drag racing, Tony Stewart, owning and operating a team that has such close ties to the Speedway and to Indy outside of the drag race world. So we'll spend some time there. And then come Friday, I have to be honest, I don't have that morning schedule memorized. one of probably the most important qualifying session of the weekend, with it being Friday night. You know, it's lay down central. A lot of cars are either going to throw down, or they're going to throw out, or throw up. Either way, we just hope to throw down and get a good healthy start to the weekend. And that's a straight 7 days of brokering the power. And then Monday, 10 a.m. start. Be there, be square.
Yeah, everybody needs to go to this one. The pandemic is over, guys. It's nothing restricted. You're full force. This is, you know, old school America right here. The Dodge Power Brokers U.S. Nationals. Leah, thank you very much. Anything else you want to say to the WFO universe, to the fans out there, to the fans of drag racing before we let you go?
I just want to say thanks for keeping everything real all the time, engaging with our posts online, watching, giving very supportive comments and suggestions. And I see it all. And, you know, not everyone's going to be as bright and shiny, but they're the ones that really push us through. But, man, I've got to say, you know, looking forward to maybe some more action with the Race Routine Foundation, Code 3 Associates. We have Mobile One, Sparkling Ice. We've been with them for 6 years, looking at another couple great years. Dodge has been our flagship, and I really can't wait till we can just have Matt and I have two Dodge Power Broker wins at the same time. That is that's going to be the epitome of success for us so far this year. So we're everyone's always working on that, but there's some cool stuff happening right now that we're looking to shine.
Oh, I love the fact that you can't tell us. I could tell you got something that's so cool that's just beneath the surface, and we're going to have to wait. Those folks from Race Radine, I talked to them in Sonoma. Such nice people. Oh, my gosh. And he was blown away by drag racing. He told me he had a great time. And you mentioned Brainerd. I walked into that VP out in front, and the POP you guys had, right? You were all over that place with Sparkling Ice. Really good, really great job you guys are doing. All right. I will see you in a few days. Enjoy this week. Thank you for making the time, Leah. And I appreciate it. Let's do it again before the year is over.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Here she goes. Leah Pruitt with us here on WFO Radio. How about that? How about that? First of all, she remembers every detail from the Mile High Nationals. Of course she won it, but every detail of the race, which I can tell you, I can't remember every detail of yesterday. And she's got it. That's what happens when you win. That's how big a deal it is to win. But just in case, you know, I think this didn't get enough love when we did it. And this was Red from her crew, an interview where he just took.
All right, I'm here with Red.
All right, I'm here on WFO.
WFO.
We're at Tony Stewart Racing.
Yeah, what's going on here, Red?
Handled everything we could possibly handle here at Vandermeer Raceway in Denver, Colorado.
Yes.
We only qualified number three. We're shooting for number one.
Yeah.
But we ran all weekend, really clean, really good. Sunday kind of LA, we stumbled a little bit. The play deal was a little sketchy. Knocked the flywheel off. We heard some things. We handled it. Got it all back together. We were getting back to the starting line. And look at where we ended up at. The winner's circle. Drinking PBRs with Joe. WFO.
All right, way to go, Red. This is not going to be the last time, right?
No, it ain't going to be the last time. We got many more to go.
Heck no. You just heard. You heard. How about Red, right? That was awesome. And Chris Afflerback, a.k.a. Booger, right? We were getting tuned up there. I was trying to figure out. And it's those moments, guys, those moments that are the best moments. And I know it's pretty cool that so many people hang out for the winner's circle. And any more, it would probably be too many. So just think about that. Good job. U.S. Nationals coming up next. Who is that? That was awesome, says LP. Thank you, Leah. Yeah, no, I had to save that. I come on. We had to drop in Red after it's all over. Like, you don't have to comment. If you want to come back on, I can just bring you back on. I can just bring you back. You don't have to text me in the chat section.
Well, no, I'm 26 seconds late for the next one. But that interview was so intriguing. That is awesome. And that's who they are all of the time. Those smiles are priceless.
Red doesn't even need me to ask him questions. He's got a statement ready. And next time, I'm not even going to ask him a question. I'm just going to, like, hand it over to him and see what he does. So let's make it soon. All right. Go do your thing.
Okay, see you guys.
There she goes, Leah. All right, that's awesome. Well, I thought that Red he handled it so well. And not everybody does it. But then again, I know this guy's from that's what happens when you hang out for a while. All right, guys, comments in the comment section while I tell you about the people who make it possible for me to do WFO. Like, it's not automatic that I get to sit here. I was just talking about a friend and he's looking for a job and all that stuff. And that would be me if not for Total Seal Piston Rings. Like, doing these 20-some-odd races at the NHRA, like, this show is the way that we stay relevant. And Total Seal, it's got a podcast that we created, Piston Rings, Ring Seal, why it's important, and a lot of fun stories behind the scenes called Hidden Horsepower. If you need a ring, if you need 10 rings, if you need one ring, go to their website, do some research, and give them a call. Make them there for your first call, not your last. FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters. Big Money Bracket Racing, Dot 90 Racing, Pro Mod, Top Sportsman, Top Dragster, High Horsepower Automatics, Monster Trucks, Mega Trucks. If you've got an automatic transmission situation that you need problem solved, FTI Performance is going to help you out. They've been doing it for over 10 years, and they have become an industry leader. I always find that to be interesting, right? Like, most people that are industry leaders, 30 years in the business. FTI has been started pretty recently, but they are cutting edge in the sport. Amazing stuff. Phillips-connect.com. Between the Ricky Smith show and this show, I got to jump on with NHRA's media in an NHRA press conference. And Justin Ashley was part of the press conference talking about the Top Fuel call out. And just amazing to see how Justin and Phillips Connect have done so well on the track. They are also doing well in the transportation industry. Smart trailer technology. And that's something that every racer can get behind, especially those that are in the transportation industry. Bernie Speed Shop helps us out. Classic American Muscle. Frame Off Restorations. Josh Hart going to join us on the show tomorrow morning. Yeah, tomorrow's a big day, guys. Josh Hart, 11 a.m. I need you all here. I need everybody here. And then at 3:30, a guy you might have heard of named John Fors. But Bernie Speed Shop, go to their social, like their social. That's a great first step. We'll be showing you some videos. We'll be talking about Bernie's. We'll be talking about the big go all week. And then Friday, it'll be a happy hour at 2 o'clock with Courtney Enders and Jason Logan. Yeah, everybody wanted it. You wanted it. You got it. It's back. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. You want to become a machinist, an engineer. You want to run a CNC machine. You want to tune EFI. They've got courses for you. Samtech.edu. Call Brian Massengill. Get him on the phone. Ask for him directly. Don't deal with anybody else other than Brian, because I want one day him to call me and be annoyed that so many people are bothering him about a great career and a life of doing something that they love, right? And every one of these engine guys I talk to on Hidden Horsepower, they love what they do. They don't do what they do because they have to. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You see Leah's face and how happy she is about what she does. It's an experience that you can have. You don't have to go Top Fuel racing to do it, though. You can go to Frank Hawley's. Courses start at $399. You know where they are right now? Maple Grove. They're out there doing a course right now. Frank posting an amazing photograph of a rainbow, and it's just great stuff out there. Check out our Facebook page. You can see the photo. I shared it along. But it's the cheapest and easiest way for you to experience what all these drag racers love so much. The Dragster Adventure, frankhawley.com. Torque Calibration Services of Australia. They are doing so much down under. Matt Clark and his team, doing so much. He sent me an email that I was going to read the email. I'll read the email tomorrow. And right now I'll just speak from your heart, my heart, which is torquecalibrationservices.com.au. And you can find them and see what they do. This is for people in Australia. We're going to bring them here one of these days, but these are for people in Australia. And he is working on top tier teams, some nitro teams, some very quick and record setting teams. And if your torque wrenches are not right, how much could it possibly cost you? How much could it cost you if your measuring equipment is not right? Yeah, this one needs to be 100 pounds. Oh, it's only 80 pounds. Oops. What could happen? So jump on board with Torque Calibration Services of Australia and go to their website. Appreciate that. Marvin Rodak's coffeeandgrills.com, hot sauces and spice rub. I've been telling everybody about the hot sauce for years. The coffee is amazing. Barbecue tools and tips and information. If you're in Fort Worth, go over there and see the showroom. Get yourself a grill at rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. Hot sauces and spice rubs and everything good. And then there's our Patreons. This is just if you want to support the work, like an artist. You want to support the work. And I don't know if what we're doing is like high art, but it's definitely something we care about. And when I worked at NASCAR Radio, I looked around and I thought, man, these guys are characters and they're great and they have a whole station. But drag racing deserves something. And so in 2009, I started WFO Radio long before anybody else was doing anything. And there was no social media. It wasn't as popular, wasn't as prevalent. People thought podcasts were for kids in their garage. And we stuck with it. We stuck to it. We kept going. And now there's a bunch of podcasts and live streams and everything. And it's great, because they're all working hard to bring on listeners and viewers and people who care. So am I, because people got to care about this sport. And the people that are Patreons, they recognize that. You don't have to do it, but if you want to do it, you're welcome to do it. WFOradio.com is the easiest way to get there. And let's see what everybody else has to say. Oh, one more thing. Since I'm in shill mode. I know. I'm in shill mode every once in a while. I got to push my stuff, man. Come on. We've got the WFO store, guys. The WFO store right now is having a sale. And everybody is like, they all have been pushing us to do something. And I'm going to put it in the chat section right now. I'm going to put the link up right now. And then I'm going to get to your comments. Hopefully you got some good comments. Get this. One of my things that I do at the race is called Jet Car Sometimes. And my alter ego personality, Jet Car Joe, comes out. And he's kind of intense. And I have fun with it because it's supposed to be fun. Like we were just talking about, it's got to be fun. If you want people to come out and spend their money and spend time and stay all day, it's got to be fun. And so I do what I think is fun and just go nuts. And I got a bit, which maybe you know, or maybe you don't know, if you don't watch NHRA TV or you haven't been a race, there's not always jet cars. When Jet Car Joe goes crazy, we've got smoke and we've got fire. And someone said, you should make a t-shirt. And so we did. That's right. There's three versions. There's the WFO on the front, this on the back. There's this on the front, and then this just on the back, because they give us all these choices. So the we've got smoke and we've got fire t-shirt is now available in the WFO store. And coincidentally, right now, they're on sale like 35% off. We've also got retro Miami Hollywood Speedway shirts, where I got my start and first picked up a microphone at a drag strip and also won a track championship and many races. That's a different story, though. So if you want to get some gear, including our WFO gear and Morris Motorsports gear, and you can get everything on a mug and you can get everything on a long sleeve t-shirt for you northern types, right? For you northern types, you can get stickers. There's stickers there. All kinds of WFO stuff, and it's all on sale. Look at Eddie here with this cool wide F and open shirt. That one's been very popular, and we're just going to keep loading up the store with more stuff. Steve Brenwald of Brenwald Media drew that himself. And to me, it's got like the perfect look. It's not overproduced. It's not overproduced. We've got smoke. We've got fire. You know, that smoke logo, I don't know where it came from, but all right, let's see what everybody's got to say before we get out of here. One final note, the first of many final notes. Indy is coming. It's coming. It's next weekend. It's not this weekend. It's next weekend. We're generating so much content that you're going to be backed up with all your WFO. Go right down there and click the bell, all you YouTubers, and subscribe on YouTube. That way you'll never miss anything. Like when this guy comes on the show tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. John Force going to be joining us. We are super busy this week because Indy is coming. It's coming. It's Game of Thrones reference, man. House of Dragon. Oh, nobody watches it. It's all right. I do. All right. Let's see. I watched the first episode. I thought it was good. Earl Nichols. Those are the best interviews. What? With Red? People like them. During the Western Swing, all our shows were loaded with interviews like that because we didn't have time. So I go over and talk to the drivers and talk to the crew guys. And I love them. Good talk. Thanks, Joe. Cash. See what Jeremy says. The whole team is a blast to work with. Great shows today. Share the show for WFO. Yeah, Scott's right. Matt Clark from Australia. He's awake. What do you think of that, Matt? Did I tell him everything I needed to tell him about calibrating their torque wrenches? Right? And that we got a lot of drag racing fans in Australia who love the sport so greatly and want everybody to know here in the States that they're working hard for the sport of drag racing down under also. Uniting the world of drag racing. Matt Clark and Torque Calibration Services. AJ, great show today. How about the Ricky Smith show? My phone exploded, guys. If you didn't hear Ricky talk about the D-Wagon controversy, the whole shootout, he felt a little disrespected. And in the end, though, I felt like I was worried I wasn't asking enough tough questions, but I asked every question that I felt like was relevant. And I said, I'm gonna push back on Ricky. And he answered my questions. And he said what he said. I think it's in a box now, and I think everybody should move forward. And it made me think of the movie Colors, when Sean Penn and Robert Duvall are talking about two bulls up on a hill. And you've got this group of young racers, relatively young, like Ricky and Lyle and JR. And they're like, like JR and Lyle and Stevie. And they want to go, 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 go. And they're making things happen. And the D-Wagon guys like, hey, let's do something to switch it up. Meanwhile, Ricky didn't feel like he was involved. And it's like, should we run down the hill or should we walk down the hill? And I thought it was a really interesting interview. And I hope those guys can all get together and acknowledge that, you know what? They were under duress and some things were going down and decisions were made rapidly and didn't work out. But maybe it did work out because more people are talking about Fuel Tech Pro Mod right now than in a long time. And the U.S. Nationals is next. And it's the biggest race on the planet. Maddie's out there, says what's up. AJ's out there. Love the new jet car merch. Jet car merch. This guy, whoever he is, he's going to Indy. He's going to Indy. He's going. And I'm going. And hopefully you're going. To Indy and also leaving right now because the show is over. Thanks to LP. 100% in the motel watching. Says Matt Clark of Torque Calibration Services. Great shows today. Looking forward to tomorrow's. Josh Hart, 11 a.m., just coming off a career best run, right? Didn't he go 66? He's drinking Rodak's coffee. You must really like it to get it in Australia. That's very amazing. Just ordered a black tea. We'll be sporting in Scotland, North Georgia, near Dawsonville, Georgia. Way to go, Eric. Thank you they're cheap, man. They're cheap. They're inexpensive. You end up getting a shirt for like 13 bucks. WFO. And why do we do it? We don't make a lot of money on that. That's not what it's about. It's about people rocking the logo. And, you know, like random people rocking the logo. And you never know when someone's going to come up and they're going to ask you, like, what is that? It's a podcast I listen to. People rocking the logo. People rocking the logo. Go to our store, WFOradio.com. You can get there through our WFO store. And that's it. All right. Thanks to Tony Stewart Nitro. Has everybody followed their social media? Do it. Lots of great stuff going on. It's a brand new account. They started at the beginning of this year. They're doing real well. Thanks to them for really blowing this up. Thank you, guys. And this is WFO Radio. We do multiple shows each week. And hopefully you enjoy what we got coming out. Thanks to Leah. And thanks to everyone who has been involved with WFO. All right. We're going to take it to the house, and we'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m., then 3:30 with John Force, and then Friday, we're going to do a happy hour show and just cut loose, get ready for the weekend. Thanks, guys. WFO.